So if you were to nail me down with a creedal statement, if you will,
on the
principles of biblical marriage, that would be my creedal statement.
Yep.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Speak Truth Broadcast. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, senior pastor at Edmonds First Baptist Church, and I've got Ashton the Wright.
That's right.
Ashton Wright.
Yeah.
With me. And
yep.
Ashton serves as our youth pastor here on staff at Edmonds First Baptist. And I've got a comment I would like to make.
We're going to set the tone
here.
Yeah,
let me see your Bible.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed that how much you young guys like Bibles? I mean, like new Bibles?
It's an issue.
It's an issue. Like every time I turn around, y'all have got a new Bible, newest thing out there.
Yeah, that's a problem. Look at those compared to one another.
I mean, that's a nice Bible.
Yeah.
Well, they call it full yap.
That's right.
Full yap.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's even trained.
Look at that. It's a little feminine looking. I mean, the color choice
fitting.
Is a little feminine.
That's right. I need to get a different one then.
No, well, okay. Here it is. All right. Now you're manly.
I know
it.
I know it. That's all I needed.
Okay. We settled that issue. All right. You've got questions for me today.
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, audience, the way we're doing this now is we're going to be presenting to you several different things in this podcast. We're really committed to this podcast now. I just want you to know that. It's been hit and miss, but we're going to commit to doing this right. So please like and subscribe, be willing to share, and encourage others to listen in. We would greatly appreciate that. Well, let's get started today on today's questions.
Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, so the topic that we're discussing today has to do with the biblical marriage and the principle of leave and cleave. So I'll first start and ask you this.
Okay.
What is the biblical principle of marriage?
What is the biblical principle of marriage? Well, first of all, marriage is a God-ordained institution.
Yeah.
Created by God for the glory of God. But, you know, it's between one man and one woman under the authority of God in covenant forever. So if you were to nail me down with a creedal statement, if you will, on the principles of biblical marriage, that would be my creedal statement.
Yep. Good.
Okay.
Good stuff. So obviously we live in a culture where the biblical, you know, principle of marriage is not commonly practiced, I guess would be a good way to put it.
You mean two men get married,
yes.
Two women get married, homosexuals get married.
Yeah, cohabitating.
Transgenderism.
Yeah, all sorts of different perversions of that.
Yeah, and I think the thing, too, is that, you know, God gave marriage to humanity.
Mm.
So think about this. God gave marriage to humanity.
Yeah.
So that means that even lost people, God gave marriage to.
Mm. That's a good point.
Yeah, so that's why God says that a believer should not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever.
Right.
So in marriage, it is, even unbelievers are to be married. It's an institution given by God to humanity.
Yeah,
that's a
great point.
Yeah, and it's to be between one man and one woman.
Yeah.
Now, so is it biblical for two unbelievers to get married? Yes.
Mm.
Is it biblical for an unbeliever to marry a believer? No.
Right.
Is it biblical for a man to marry a man? No, it's an abomination.
Right.
And I could say the same thing about women marrying women, transgenderism,
right,
and those different things. Those are all perversions and abominations, to be quite honest with you.
You know, one of the things that someone might ask is, well, you know, we're a couple, we love one another, we're committed to each other. Why do we need to get married? Like, why do we got to go through all the, like, making it an official marriage? Why can't
You're
we just...
You talking about the ceremonial aspect, getting a marriage license and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
That's a good question, you know, and it's one I've heard before.
Right.
Does the Bible require a couple who's being married to get a marriage license and to have a ceremony? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're asking?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Then, first of all, let me just say there's nothing in the Bible about getting a marriage license.
Yeah.
All right. But there is scripture, especially like Romans 13, that mm-hmm. we resubmit to governing authority and so forth. And I guess to make it short is like, if you're truly getting married for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
then why would you, or if you're truly together for the right reasons,
mm.
then why would you not want to tell the world?
Yeah, that's a great
why
point.
Why would you not want the world to know that right. you love this woman,
yep.
she loves you,
yep.
and that you and her are committed to one another
yeah.
forever?
Yeah, that's
like,
a great
I mean,
point.
Why would you not mm-hmm. want to declare that?
Yeah.
Your love for one another openly, publicly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll just go on and say this. There's a current move from away from the church for mm. marriages. People are
right.
renting out venues and so forth. I just think there needs to be a return to the church.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because of what marriage represents.
Yep.
And so I would say that, first of all, cohabitation is fornication.
Mm.
So if you have a couple living together who are not married,
right.
who have not entered into covenant together
yeah.
underneath God,
right.
then they're fornicating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Bible talks about the word porneia.
Yeah.
It's used to describe multiple acts of sexual immorality, and one of those being fornication,
yeah.
which is sex outside of marriage.
Yeah.
So if two people are living together and they're cohabiting, they're then the reality is that they're living in sin.
Yeah.
That's the reality, is that they're living in unrepentant fornication.
Yeah.
So what's the answer? Well, they need to get it right.
Right.
They need to,
right.
right? So,
yes.
Yeah.
That was actually one of my questions is about cohabitation, especially because just our culture today. I mean,
oh, yeah.
and the fact that that is becoming an increasingly common trend
yeah.
amongst younger people especially is cohabitation. And so that answered one of the other questions I had.
Yeah, yeah. God hasn't changed.
Yeah.
No matter how progressive our society becomes.
Man,
God is
it's like you've like...
God's
know,
immutable.
It's like you know everything on this paper because that was another one of my questions.
Okay, what's that question?
That other question was going to be, you know, does this principle change as time progresses? People
yeah.
say, well, you know, that was a long time ago, and, you know, it's a different time. People
yeah.
used to believe a lot of different things way long ago, but now things are changing and evolving, and we're different and all these different things. And so that was going to be my next question is, you know, people have that question is, well, you know, does the principle of marriage, you know, the covenant relationship, does that change? Does it morph into... Well, it's okay to cohabitate. It's okay
yeah.
to, you know,
yeah.
different things.
Well, first of all, let's just talk about the character of God for a moment, who actually ordained marriage, created
yeah.
man in his own image. God is holy.
Yeah.
And God will never justify or condone sin.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
And not only that, God's attitude towards sin and what he declares to be sin does not change.
Yeah, that's a great point.
God is immutable,
yeah,
holy, righteous, and just. And I would say that his principles that proceed forth from his nature are too immutable.
Yeah.
The commandments of God, the precepts that we find in Scripture, but the reality is that God is unchanging, and so is God's principles concerning biblical marriage, they're unchanging.
Yeah.
You know, not only do you see it in the Old Testament, you know, when God created Adam and Eve and, you know, gave those first marriage principles
mm-hmm.
that I'd love to talk about maybe
yeah.
on another podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
We talk about those biblical principles that we see in Genesis
yeah.
in chapter 2. But even as you move on into the New Testament, especially when you get to like Paul's writings in the book of Ephesians,
if
you go from Old Testament to New Testament, if you hold this, we're looking at, somewhere about 4,000 years.
Right.
And then also, but we see the teaching hasn't changed.
Right. Good
because
point.
Because when you get to the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about, when he's talking about marriage, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And so you see there that even in the New Testament, thousands of years later, the biblical principles
that's a great point.
Still stands.
Yeah.
And it still stands today.
Yeah,
as
that's
well.
Great.
Yeah, and it doesn't change.
And there's also, because I've heard this from different people, even celebrities have said stuff like this, is, well, what about Jesus? What did Jesus say about homosexuality, like same-sex couples / marriage? Basically their argument is, well, Jesus didn't come out and speak against all these, different things, so that must mean
that he's okay with it.
Yeah.
One of the things that you're never supposed to do in hermeneutics is to make an argument from silence.
Yeah, that's great.
So just because Jesus is, just because Jesus does not come out and clearly condemn homosexuality does not mean that he was for homosexuality.
Yeah.
That's an argument
that's great.
From silence,
that's
which
a good
is
point.
Not how you're to handle the Word of God.
Right.
What we do know is this, is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
The Son of God is eternal. So when God created man in his own image, and then God created Adam and Eve and gave them the ordination of marriage.
Yeah.
The Son of God was there.
Yeah.
I mean, God, Elohim, triune God.
Yep.
Triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, triune God created and instituted marriage.
Yep.
The Son of God was there.
Right.
If you read John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and he was with God in the beginning, and all things came into existence through him, and apart from him, nothing has come into being.
Yeah.
So it's actually the Son of God who ordained marriage between one man and one woman.
Right. Yep.
So this argument that Jesus never is absolutely based upon ignorance of Scripture.
Right.
And definitely poor theology
and
understanding of God. So, that would be, it's like, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, the Son of God was, he did.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and like you said, all those things are excellent, especially the like you said, the argument from silence. You know, like that is so true, because that could be, in so many things that people say, well, Jesus didn't say this or Jesus didn't say that, but of course Jesus would be against those things.
And I think another thing too is to realize is that all Scripture is God breathed.
Yes, absolutely.
All Scripture.
Yeah.
And so,
because there are people that try to elevate.
Oh yeah.
That's maybe something that they
The red letters in the Bible are more important than everything else.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's not true.
Yep.
Yeah. So
it's true.
It's from Genesis to Revelation, we have the Word of God,
right?
And it is theopneustos, theopneustos is the breath of God, and so and it's all God breathed,
right?
So you can't say, well, look, Jesus didn't come out and actually condemn it, but the reality he did, because of he created it. And if we try to create marriage any other way than God created it, we commit idolatry.
Right. It's true.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of marriage, is divorce allowed at all in the Bible?
Well, that's loaded.
Yeah.
So does the Bible allow divorce? Well, I think the first thing we need to say is probably the word permit would be a better word.
Yeah.
Are there ever times in Scripture where Scripture permits divorce? Well, the short answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay, there are. Jesus makes that very same, statement, or when he talks about it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus said, "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give to her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever divorces or marries a divorced woman commits adultery." So Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that that the only time that divorce would be permitted is in the case of adultery.
Mm.
And I would say that even if someone commits adultery, that's not an immediate justification.
Great, yeah, that's a great point.
Immediate justification for divorce.
Yeah.
If the person is repentant and seeks reconciliation,
yeah,
then it's our job to forgive.
Mm.
But if that person remains unrepentant in their idolatry or their adultery, then Jesus says in those situations, he permits it.
Mm-hmm.
He still hates it.
Yeah.
Malachi 3, he hates divorce.
Right.
But nevertheless, the Bible does recognize there are times when it's permitted. You know, Paul further expounds this reality in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul goes a little bit further than what Jesus did, and saying that he says, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have a sexual relations with a woman." Paul's saying, listen, if you can not be married, don't be married. Live your life fully to God. But some people can't, so they need to get married. That's the point that Paul's making.
Right.
And then he says this, "But because of temptation, sexual morality, each of you should have his own wife, and each wife her own husband. The husband should give his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not as a command, I say this. I wish that all as were as myself." He's talking about being unmarried. But let me get on here. He goes on to say, "To the married, I give this charge, not I but the Lord, that the wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. So to the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her."
Mm.
So the Bible says if you're a believer and all of a sudden you realize you're married to an unbeliever, and that unbeliever wants to remain married, then you have a responsibility to stay married.
Right.
Okay? No grounds for divorce. Then he goes on to say in verse 13, "If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him."
Right.
That's pretty clear. He goes on to say, verse 15, "But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so." In other words, if you are abandoned by your spouse, then the Bible says, let them go.
Mm.
And there would be those who would argue that that doesn't permit divorce, or it may permit divorce, but it doesn't permit remarriage.
Mm.
And that's the argument really in theology is,
is
does permit, when God permits divorce, does he also allow remarriage?
Right.
And to be quite honest with you, there will be those out there who would argue yes during the betrothal process, but once the marriage has been consummated, if you're never to get a divorce, and if you do, you're never to remarry.
Yeah.
Now, I've always been under the persuasion, and I've studied both sides, that where God permits divorce, he allows remarriage.
Mm, that's a good point.
Okay. So Jesus said in the case of adultery, Paul says in the case of abandonment, and then if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. Go as called as God it for. How do you know? And then he goes on to say that. But so we see that the grounds for divorce are really very limited.
Yeah.
And God permits it, but that doesn't mean that's his will.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yep. Like you said, reconciliation is always.
Yeah, God wants reconciliation. God wants healing. God wants forgiveness.
Mm.
God wants a man and a woman living together in holy matrimony, for better or worse, to richer or poor, in sickness and in health, until death do us part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. Until we meet again, serve the King.